Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're going to look at a few different texts this morning, starting in the Old Testament, the book of Micah. Micah was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. And in Micah chapter 5, describing the difficulty that is going to happen because of God's judgment on his people, God gives a promise of deliverance. And the fact that even though judgment is coming and things are going to be bad, it's not always going to be that way. Salvation will come. Restoration will come. Redemption will come. And so even as God warns his people of coming judgment, he also gives them a promise. In Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, this is God's word. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose goings out are from of old, from days of eternity. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Heavenly Father, help us to understand and believe your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage was one that the Jews knew. At least their careful students of the word knew. And so when the wise men came, saying that they had seen a star that signaled the birth of the king of Israel, and they show up at Herod's door, and they want to know, where is this one who has been born to be king? Herod goes into a panic because he knows that there is a Messiah coming, and he knows that he is not it, and he knows his son is not it. He is a usurper. He is a bad guy who does not walk with God, who has been placed in a position of ruling by a foreign enemy of Israel, the Roman government. And so, you know, he knows that he is not the chosen one, and he knows that his offspring is not the chosen one. And so when he hears that the chosen one has been born, the promised one, the anointed one, he goes into a panic. And we have the account of that in Matthew's gospel. And he sends for the scholars and he says, tell me, where is the Messiah to be born? And they knew. They didn't say, well, golly, don't ask us. We have no idea. I mean, needle in a haystack. Who could know? No. They come back and they tell him in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." So then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Was Herod going to worship? Not at all. He was determined to kill the Messiah. Now, I simply want to talk for a moment about the irrationality of sin and the triumph of God. I want you to think for a moment how crazy, how utterly stupid it is for anybody anywhere to think that they, in their power, can stand against God. Here, the reason that Herod knew there was a Messiah to be born, and it wasn't that he doubted that, and he knew that God's word is true, that his promises are true, and yet his response to God and to his promise is to say, "I'm going to defeat that. I'm going to overcome that." And so he tells the wise men, "You find out for me where the child is, and I'll come and worship." But his plan is to come and slaughter the Messiah in order to preserve his kingdom. Folks, we look at that and we think, what an idiot. But how much of the time do we do the same thing? In our hearts, we know there is a God. Every atheist on the planet, every outspoken enemy of God and of faith knows there's a God. You can't escape it. It's hardwired into your DNA. So you may say, "Oh, I don't believe in God." You're a liar. Which is one reason you say you don't believe in God. You're not being honest. The truth of the matter is, down deep inside, whether we admit it or not, we know there is a God. And we know we're not him. And yet, the problem with man's heart is that we are ultimately, in our natural state, hostile toward God. The Bible says so. And it shows up over and over and over again. So Herod, knowing that there is a God and that God has promised to send Messiah, thinks he's going to mess up that plan by killing the baby, Jesus. And when the wise men don't come back and tell him where the baby is, he orders the slaughter of those children. Because he's determined. Even if he has to kill a bunch of other children, he is determined that he's going to stop this plan of God. Now, I just want to ask you again, is that rational or is that irrational? Is that a sensible thing, even as a long shot, or is that absolute insanity? Folks, it's insanity. If I decided,
you know, if I wait much longer, I'm not going to be able to establish myself as a world-renowned boxer. And so I'm trying to get in touch with Evander Holyfield because he is a professing Christian, and I understand he needs some money. And he definitely has experience in the boxing ring, and see if we can just connect. And maybe he can train me a little bit and then get me a prize fight with one of the other heavyweights.
Would you say, "Wow, Pastor Wood, that's really ambitious"? Or would you say, "Mrs. Wood, Pastor Wood's had a breakdown and we need to have him locked up for a while"? I mean, it would be insanity for me to go up against a prize fighter, even a former prize fighter. I mean, that would just be nuts. But here is a puny human being on a tiny little planet that revolves around one of the smaller stars saying, "I'm going to take on the God of the universe." That's crazy. And that's what we do when we think
that we can put ourselves at cross purposes with God. We can say no to him, no to his plan, and somehow come out ahead. Sin, evil, is irrational. It is insane. We hear about the tragedy of someone who's mentally disturbed killing a bunch of children. We say, that is just insane. And it is. And it is evil. But folks, we live in a world where every day people engage in sin and evil, and they wound and kill others. And the slaughter of children in this country, tragically, is not limited to those who died at an elementary school in Connecticut. We slaughter those children who cannot defend themselves in the wombs of their mothers every day across this land. Abortion continues to be rampant in this country. And people say, well, who are you to force your morality on me? Who are you to judge? It's a political question that we need to just stay away from if we want to win elections. You know, I'm really not so concerned about winning elections as I am about the judgment of God. And the fact of the matter is, this land is swimming in innocent blood. And God has promised that he sees and that he cares and that he will avenge. And if we think that we can just continue on our way without repentance and continue to get away with it, we are committing the same sort of insane behavior that generations have before us. And they discovered, as we will, that God keeps his promises and that his plan will go forward.
Folks, we are headed into the time of year when everybody is celebrating gift giving. And it goes back to the idea that this is a way we can express gratitude for what God gave to us. God gave us a gift that was priceless beyond compare. God sent his son to save us. Nothing we could ever give to him or to anyone else compares with what he's done for us. But Jesus says that what we do for the least of these, he considers as having been done for him. So I would encourage you, as you're thinking about what you're going to do for Christmas this year, remember whose birth it's supposed to celebrate and do something that honors him. Give to help the least of these. And among those, I would encourage you to consider helping the children at Ware's Valley Ranch. We have children here who come from all kinds of circumstances, but all of them need to be somewhere other than their original home. They need a home away from home, and that's what the ranch provides. It's God's place. God is the one who has raised up Ware's Valley Ranch. God is the one who has sustained Ware's Valley Ranch. The people who work with the children here are doing it out of a sense of calling. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a position where you can help us this year, do something right now. Give while you have the opportunity. You can call 866-41-ABIDE. You can go to the website, wvr.org, or you can send us something in the mail. But if you're able to help the children, we'd really appreciate your help. God bless you. I hope that your Christmas will be filled with joy and gratitude to God for what he has given to us. God bless you.
Now, if you look at this passage in Micah, just a couple of things. First of all, what are the chances? What are the chances that 700 years before the birth of Christ, somebody would accurately predict not just that it's going to be the town of Bethlehem, but it's going to be this town of Bethlehem, the one in Judea? Bethlehem Ephrathah. It is, there were two Bethlehems. This is the one. It's going to be in this place. It's going to be exactly here. That's where the Messiah is going to be born. And then because of the Roman authorities deciding that they needed to take a census so they could raise taxes because the government was spending more money than it was taking in, and that meant for the Jews going to the town of their origin, the place where their family lineage was, sort of like my wife's family coming back to Ware's Valley. We haven't lived there in generations. We didn't even know we used to live there. But here we are, because God has a sense of humor, and he knows exactly who you are, where you come from, and everything about your ancestors. And so they go traipsing off to Bethlehem just at the time when she's going to give birth, so that a family from another part of the country would have their baby miles from home in the place where 700 years earlier God had said he was to be born. Is that pretty cool? You think God's able to get what he wants? Even if it means getting pagan governments to give the orders that inconvenience and frustrate us in order to accomplish his plan? God does not have to reveal his plans to pagans in order to use pagans to accomplish his plan. And God, I promise you, on the authority of God's word, is working out his plan. So when the pagans do stuff that really bother us, realize God is up to something. And all the details are ultimately in God's hand. Don't panic. Don't get yourself all worked up feeling like, oh no, what are we going to do? Those people don't know God. They don't have to know God. God knows everything, and he's working it all out according to his plan. And he is able to cause even the wrath of men to praise him. What is the worst thing that has ever happened in human history in terms of injustice? How about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ? The only person in history who truly, truly lived a sinless life and certainly did not deserve to die. And he was treated like a criminal, falsely accused of blasphemy, nailed to a cross, killed. That's injustice. That's evil. And it was God's plan. Now, if that upsets you, I'm sorry. But you need to know that without causing evil, God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. God is not the author of sin. God hates sin. But God uses everything, and it is all under his control. Could he have stopped Herod from doing what he did? Absolutely. But he had already said that that's what was going to happen. So does that mean he made Herod do it? No. Herod did exactly what Herod wanted to do, and it was an evil thing. But it was exactly what God had said would happen, because God is in control and he knows the end from the beginning and he works out everything according to his plan. Well, I just can't make that work mentally. Well, that's because you have a finite mind like mine. Okay? I don't understand it all either, but there are some things I know. And one of the things that I know is that God is really, really good. God is perfect and holy and just and kind and compassionate. And he always tells the truth. And his love never fails. I'll tell you something else I know about God. God is holy, holy, holy. He is just and righteous. And he is a God who will visit his wrath on his enemies if they refuse to repent and turn to him for mercy. you and I need to understand. Well, are you saying that when something bad happens to a person, it's because of God's wrath? No. What I'm saying is God is still in control, and he is working everything for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. I can't understand how it all works out. I know that God can be trusted. I know he can be trusted. So, God spoke through the prophet Micah 700 years before Jesus is born and says, this is where it's going to happen. He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And he says, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose, it says in the NIV, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. In the Hebrew, it says, whose goings out are from eternity, days of eternity. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we read here of the one who's to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings out are from eternity, we're talking about what God was already revealing in the Old Testament, though people wouldn't understand it. And that is that the one who would be born as the Messiah was not somebody who came into being at that point. The one who was going to be born as Messiah would be the eternal Word of God. And he would reveal to us the Father, so that he's able to say to his disciples, recorded for us in John's Gospel, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus isn't just somebody who knows God really well. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Nothing was made without him. And it is that Word that became flesh and lived among us. So Jesus, the eternal Word of God, is the one promised here in Micah. Micah tells us that his goings out are from of old, from days of eternity. And so, his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And the last phrase from this section in Micah, and he will be their peace. The Apostle Paul picks up on that in his writings and talks about how Christ Jesus is our peace. We don't just have peace because of Jesus. He is our peace. He is the basis on which we are reconciled with God, and he is the basis on which we're reconciled with each other. It is in Christ Jesus. He is our peace. So at this time of year, when some people are stressed out by making sure they buy all the right stuff, get your eyes off of the stuff. Get your eyes on Jesus. He is our peace. You're looking elsewhere, you're looking in the wrong place. Find your peace in him. He came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. It is Jesus Christ who is our peace.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE, that's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.